This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to all of you. This is Vicky Follins from Trademark Clearinghouse. I want to welcome you again to our monthly sessions or webinar sessions. And today I'm happy again to have Craig Schwartz, who is the Managing Director of the Dot Bank or FTLD Registry Services, providing the Dot Bank GTLD. So he will also provide you an update for those of you that were not able to join in our previous presentations. He'll have more information on the Dot Bank Sunrise and the Dot Bank TLD in general. Just a quick update again for those of you that have already have heard this. My apologies, but it's important that we all are aware of the fact that our lines are muted, and if you have questions, you're free to put your question in the chat box. You can see it on the left-hand corner, and we will answer your questions at the end of the session. And please note that your questions can be related to the clearinghouse as related to the Dot Bank TLD. The recording and presentation will be shared after this session. Now, before I hand it over to Craig, I will just provide you with some updates on statistics from the Trademark Clearinghouse. So we're happy to say that the trademarks have gone drastically up the last couple of months. We now have 36,801 trademarks submitted to the clearinghouse, whereas almost 95% are verified. 5% that are either on incorrect or invalid, either they don't meet the clearinghouse guidelines. So it's important for those of you that have submitted or will submit your trademark to the clearinghouse or have customers that submit their trademarks to the clearinghouse to make sure that you read the eligibility requirements in the clearinghouse guidelines, as it will actually assist you in getting those mark records verified. From the more than 36,000, we have almost 83% that are submitted by trademark agents. So it's important to note that the clearinghouse works with dedicated trademark agents. We currently have over 180 trademark agents that can assist you as a trademark holder in different languages. They know how to process the trademark records, and they provide you with valuable customer support in order to make sure that you can get your trademark record verified and your proof of use, and they manage your SMD file with you as well. And as some of you might know, others that are new, the Trademark Clearinghouse, you can submit your trademark for 1, 3, or 5 years. And almost 50% have submitted the trademark record to the clearinghouse for more than 1 year because of the fact that they take the benefit of the claims notifications and the ongoing notifications. It's an extra added value for trademark holders submitting their trademarks to the clearinghouse. And as you can see here also on the statistics, we have more than 150,000 claims notifications sent. So this means that when third party registers a domain name that matches your trademark in a particular TLD, you receive a notification hereof. And this also laps in the ongoing notifications, where you can see that we have already submitted more than 100,000 ongoing notifications to trademark holders. And we currently have 2,638 marks that have expired. This actually means that we are at a renewal rate of 93%. So again, for those of you that are new, the Trademark Clearinghouse was put in place in March 2013. And we are happy to see that we have a renewal rate of 93%, which also makes it clear that trademark holders are using the claims notifications and the ongoing notifications, and that they see it as an added value to having their mark submitted to the clearinghouse. And we have trademarks coming from 120 different jurisdictions where trademark holders are registered or have their company in 106,000 countries. And you see here as well the graph showing that we have different scripts as well, where we see that the trademarks coming from China in the Chinese script are picking up as well compared to the other months. active sunrises. Again, for those of you that are new, and even for those agents that and trademark holders that have used the Trademark Clearinghouse, we have a sunrise calendar. You see the link here, sunrise.clearinghouse.org, where it provides you an overview of the active sunrises, whereas .bank has started their sunrise yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. You see here the other ones as well, .markets, .sites, .cafe, .gold. So this gives you a nice overview of which TLDs are currently in sunrise, and you as a trademark holder can take benefit of these sunrise periods to register your trademark as a domain name in these different TLDs. The sunrises that are coming up, you see them in orange. Again, you can see them on our calendar. So these are currently sunrises that have been announced, meaning that the TLDs are currently not launched yet. But if you are interested in participating in one of these sunrises, it is important that you already start creating your application, your mark record, and making sure that you have everything verified. So once they open up, that you are ready, set to go, and that you can provide the signed mark data file, the SMD file, to your registrar in order to register the domain name that matches your trademark. And with that, I will hand it over to Craig. Again, for those of you that have questions, please don't hesitate to put your question in the chat box.
Thank you, Vicki, and thanks to participants on today's webinar. Yes, as Vicki noted, the .bank Sunrise launched on Monday, and we are really pleased so far with the activity that we've seen. We're moving forward with our verification process, which we'll get to in a little bit of time, but for now, let me give you some general overview information about .bank and ultimately .insurance, which we'll be launching a little bit later this year. So clearly, the internet financial world is changing. Many, many generics in the financial space, including our two domains, plus probably three times as many branded domains, and .city and .icbc and .hsbc are a couple of examples. So clearly, status page here, we're now in sunrise for .bank, and again, we anticipate that .insurance will launch a little bit later this year. So who are they from a historical perspective? Well, clearly, they're two of among the many thousands of new applications that were submitted to ICANN back in 2012. We are very different than I think almost every other TLD that's launched. While there are a number of other community-based, we are, I think, one of the only ones that are owned and operated by the sector rather than operated on behalf of the sector. We say we're trusted, verified, more secure, and easily identifiable because of the registration restrictions, both on eligibility and name selection, which we'll get to shortly. We have a number of enhanced mandatory security requirements that are applicable to FTLD as the registry operator. Some also extend to our authorized registrars and ultimately to the end user registrants of our domain names. And in the long run, we look at .bank and .insurance as being a place for innovation in the financial services sector. So what makes them different? Again, we have strict eligibility requirements, defining who can have domain names, what kind of domain names can be registered, and how can they be used. We have a mandatory verification process, which is handled by Symantec, our verification agent, and this happens prior to the award of the domain name to the registrant. So it's almost a pre-registration verification. Our position has been, or is, that doing verification after the fact, particularly in a financial services-oriented TLD, is just not a safe and secure way to do business. We know that malicious activities happen quickly and that a lot of damage can be done in a very short period of time by bad actors, hence the need to have pre-verification before registration. We also will verify eligibility every 2 years or upon domain renewal, whichever comes first. And then if you add to the eligibility requirements are security standards or these security requirements. And here are a couple of examples, the NSSEC, authenticated email encryption, and multi-factor authentication, which I think we have a slide that goes into these a little bit in more detail shortly. But they all contribute to .bank being this trusted and more secure place. And again, those security requirements vary among FTLD registrars and registrants. So to get to our eligibility requirements, we are open to banks, banking trade associations, banking regulators, and select service providers. An example of a service provider are either what are known as technology service providers or core processors. These are companies that are either managing a bank's infrastructure for them or perhaps managing a portion of the services that they offer, such as online banking or online bill pay. And we view that when .bank statistics come in and we look at who the registrants are, that the vast majority will be regulated banking entities, which is how we intended it to be. We are getting many, many questions about the eligibility of bank holding companies. So let me just say real briefly that bank holding companies do not meet the eligibility requirements to have a .bank domain. However, we're also aware that bank holding companies frequently own the trademarks or IP rights of their banking subsidiary entities. So what we've tried to explain in our FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions document, which is on our website, is that a bank holding company can register a domain name on behalf of its banking subsidiary, but the eligible banking entity has to be the registrant contact information for that registration. Moving on to name selection, I'm hoping that by participating in the call today that you're pretty familiar with the TMCH and the Sunrise process, and that domains registered during this period have to be an exact match of the registration in the trademark clearinghouse. Kind of tied to the bank holding company question that I just answered a moment ago, VeriSign is FTLD's technical infrastructure service provider, and for informational purposes, when they process a registration, I think we will have a slide of this momentarily, they're checking to see two pieces of information are available during a Sunrise registration. First, that the SMD file is a valid SMD file, and that the domain name being requested is an exact match of the mark associated with that SMD file. So if a bank holding company wants to make a registration on behalf of its banking subsidiary, or even if the banking subsidiary wants to make a registration with a trademark that's owned by its bank holding company, as long as the registrant contact information is that for the eligible entity and they have the SMD file to provide to the registrar during the registration process, there should be no issue with that registration going forward. Looking at the founders and general availability periods, this is when our name policy is a little bit more relaxed, where we say names have to correspond to your trademark, your trade name, or your service mark. And it's also important to note that you don't have to have a registered trademark in order to register a .bank domain. You do have to, though, be able to demonstrate that you have a right to that specific name. So it could be that you've obtained a common law right to use a mark based upon usage over an extended period of time. And for us, that would satisfy as demonstrating your right to use that particular mark and have it as a domain name. If Symantec, as our registry verification agent, is not able to discern on its own that you have a right to that domain, it will follow up directly with the registrant and request additional information be provided to support, again, the right to register that domain name. We do have a variety of reserve names that we as FTLD have held back from registration, and they are listed on our website. We have a number of generic names, and we also have what are called common community names, or names that are shared primarily in the United States by a large number of banking entities. If a name is on the common community reserve list, so First National is an example, or it could be an example. If an entity wanted to append First National with, for example, some geographic identifier, if they're First National Bank of Kansas and they wanted First National KS.bank, that would be fine, and that's completely appropriate for domain names registered during founders and general availability. It is Also noteworthy that domains are awarded first come, first served in all periods. I think we're one of the very few registries that are actually operating a start date sunrise, which means we're allocating domain names as they are received and approved during the sunrise period. So a little bit more about enhanced security, and I apologize, this slide actually should have been prior to the last one. But all of these mechanisms are intended to make .bank and .insurance more safe for banks and their customers. Again, they will be implemented by a registrar or a registrant, and we could spend probably an hour going to all of the details of these. I don't think it's probably of interest to trademark agents and trademark holders, but it is important for registrars and registrants to know what their responsibilities are when registering a domain name. So the registration process in .bank is a little bit different than most TLDs, and if you've supported registries like .jobs, in the past, it is similar to that in that when a registrar makes a request for domain names, VeriSign does some very basic validation, obviously making sure that it's not a reserve name, making sure that any of the technical security requirements that are mandated and could trip up a registration are abided by. And what they do is they put the name in pending create once they've validated it, and it's effectively reserved for the registrant until the verification process is complete by Symantec. Once Symantec completes its process, FTLD manually goes back into the VeriSign system. We then approve the registration. The registration becomes in a created status rather than a pending create status, and the registrant is then free to use it whenever they're ready, provided they are in compliance with all the security requirements. We tell registrants and registrars, and I guess this is important for trademark agents as well that are advising banks and other eligible organizations, that registering and using your domains in .bank is very much a two-step process. It's very different than registering a .com name or any other domain name for that matter. And because of the first-come, first-served nature of all the registration periods, it's important that banks and other eligible organizations make their requests for registrations as early as possible. That way, they have time to go through the approval segment by Symantec, and ultimately, the bank can use the domain name when they're ready. And of course, there's no use requirement, just as in any other top-level domain, but we certainly hope that banks do use them. So the Symantec verification process happens after VeriSign has done some basic validation and put the domain name into pending create. The registrar then submits information directly to Symantec, and Symantec is effectively going to verify three pieces of data, although there's more information on this slide. They're going to make sure that the person that's requested the domain name is a full-time employee of the registrant contact organization, that the employee is also authorized by the organization to register domain names on its behalf, and that the domain names requested are in compliance with the FTLD's name selection policy. That is, during the sunrise period, that they're an exact match of the mark in the clearinghouse, and during founders and general availability, that the domain names requested comply with the corresponding rule for those periods. Probably the single most important and time-consuming process of Symantec's verification is the phone call that they will make to the registrant organization to verify the information that I previously ran through with you. Clearly, if I, for example, Craig Schwartz, tried to register Craig.bank, Symantec is going to call and not speak to me because they need to speak with someone who can verify me as an employee and me as having authority to register domain names. They will call either the HR manager, they will call the registrant contacts direct manager. They might also check with the general counsel's office of the bank or the eligible organization. So it's really important for all of the parties within the registrant organization to be aware of the domain names that have been requested and that they're prepared to answer that phone call and respond to that verification request when it comes. We expect the verification process to take less than 5 days. Again, it depends on how quickly the bank responds to the call. And as previously mentioned, the verification will happen at least every 2 years or upon domain renewal, whichever comes first. So our primary activities for the next 90 days is all about education, doing many webinars just like this. We do several a week with a variety of registrars. If you happen to work with a registrar and you think they might like some assistance doing a webinar, we're more than happy to do it. We did a fairly big push with media to announce our Sunrise program. We'll do a much larger push when it comes to the general availability period, starting on June 24th. And within about the next 2 weeks, we should be publishing what's called a guide to leveraging.bank. And the guide has three sections to it. One is an approach to how a bank or other eligible organization can communicate to a broad range of stakeholders about its intentions to use .bank. This particular portion of the guide has many, many email templates on messages registrants can use when, for example, talking to employees or talking to board members or talking to their customers. So it's a guide. It's not anything set in stone that a bank must use, but we thought it would be helpful from a communications perspective. The other two portions are very heavily oriented to the technical security requirements. One of the two documents is an overview of what the technical security requirements are, and it's probably about 9 pages long. The second portion is best practices associated with implementing the technical security requirements. I'd say in the draft that it's in currently, it's about 40 pages. It's very much intended to be read by someone within your IT department, or perhaps you provide it to your hosting company or your core processor or the organization that runs your DNS. It's not something that the average person is going to understand, but it is very much written for the people that need to implement the security requirements for your .bank domain. So some parting thoughts, primarily for registrants. Check the timeline to make sure you know when you're eligible. Figure out the names that you'd like to have. We encourage everyone to engage with a registrar soon. Many are doing pre-screening processes that will effectively help you get pre-qualified for domain names and then put you in a queue, so when your relevant registration period opens, they will submit your order in a very timely fashion. We know that, at least particularly in the United States, where the naming structure of banks can be very common, that there's going to be a very high demand for certain domain names, and thus the encouragement to engage with a registrar soon, take advantage of a screening process if they offer one, let them walk you through what the application program looks like and help you figure out whether you're eligible for certain domain names or not. With regard to the pricing and per the ICANN model, registry operators such as FTLD are prohibited from selling direct to customers, which is why we have to go through this intermediary registrar channel. I think right now we have 17 or 18 approved registrars, and registrars are the entities responsible for setting the price and will obviously vary from registrar to registrar depending on the types of services registrants buy from them. We are seeing from registrars that have been public about their pricing that domain names are averaging around $1,000 to about $1,600 per domain per year. Again, it really varies depending on the services you buy. And finally, domains are awarded again first come, first serve. Keep your options open by securing domains early. You don't need to have figured out all the technical security requirements to register a domain name. It's almost like any other process in terms of getting it through the VeriSign system. What takes more time and is a little more complicated is the semantic side and the verification piece. So some helpful links here. We update our FAQ fairly frequently because we are getting really terrific questions from registrars and trademark agents and from banks, and we want to make sure that we provide the best information possible. I will note that the link to the approved registrars is actually wrong on this slide. On FTLD.com, it actually is FTLD.com/approved registrars. For register.bank, which is a new website that we launched late last week, it's actually register.bank/registrar, so I apologize for that. Make sure you're familiar with our policies, and particularly for trademark agents. Just because an entity has a registration in the Trademark Clearinghouse doesn't necessarily mean it qualifies for a registration in .bank. It still must meet the eligibility requirements defined in our policies. And again, we also encourage people to look at the reserve names, make sure that if the name you'd like to have is one that's reserved or not available, that you think about how to structure the domain in a different way that gets you to where you need to be and is also in compliance with our name selection policy. So with that, I thank you for your participation and your attention, and we'll turn the mic, I guess, back over to Vicki for questions and answers. So it looks like we have a question in the chat room from Julie. It says, please explain again how it works if the trademark owner is a bank holding company. So a bank holding company can request a registration on behalf of its eligible banking subsidiary, but the registrant contact information needs to be for that of the eligible entity or the bank. So it could be that the bank holding company lists itself as the admin contact or the billing contact or one of the other contacts, but the registrant contact information has to be for the bank. What probably is easier to do is for the bank itself to make the registration using the SMD file of the bank holding company, because as I mentioned earlier, what is checked during the initial registration process, which is the piece that VeriSign does, is there a valid SMD file, and does the name requested match exactly that name associated with the SMD file? So there's really not a reason the eligible bank shouldn't directly make the registration. But it's really up to the bank and the bank holding company and their management to determine the best path forward. Julie, I hope that answers your question. If not, I'll look for further clarification in the chat box. So I see another question with Stella. So applicants don't need DNS for registration unless they put .bank domain into use. In that case, domains need to have zone DNS. Is that correct? So applicants don't need DNS for registration. You can make a request for registration without any name servers, and that may be the easiest way and the fastest way to do it. When that happens, and after Symantec does their verification and the domain name is awarded, the domain name sits in what's called a server hold status by VeriSign. And until the proper name server is added, so if the domain is craig.bank, the proper name server might be ns1.craig.bank or some similarly structured name server. Until the name server is added and linked to the domain name, and the DNSSEC information is added, VeriSign will not release that name from server hold, and thus the domain name cannot be used. So in order to activate or use your domain, you have to have the right DNS information, which includes a properly formatted name server and also the DNSSEC information. The other security requirements, such as the email authentication record, I mean, that needs to be in place as well, but that part is not managed by VeriSign and would have no impact on them releasing a domain name from a server hold status. So I hope that answers the question for Stella. I'm going to move down to Laurent, who asks, what if the verification process fails? Are there any charges for the registrar? Is the entire amount refunded? Does the registrant have the opportunity to update his application easily? So if the verification fails, it depends on what the registrar's policy is for refunding fees. From the FTLD end, if a registrant verification fails, we refund the entire amount of the registration to the registrar. Again, they may or may not return all of the money to the registrant. It also says, does the registrant have the opportunity to update his application easily? So it depends on what needs to be updated. I mean, if Symantec fails a verification, it doesn't automatically proceed through the VeriSign process as a failed verification. Symantec will notify FTLD. We will make every effort to work with the registrant and or registrar to see what can be done to correct the information and to do so in a timely fashion. What I can tell you is I feel like in Sunrise, looking at the reports that I'm getting now from VeriSign on a daily basis, is it seems like we're getting requests from organizations that on the surface don't look to be eligible. And if an organization is just deemed ineligible based upon the registrant eligibility policy, I mean, there's not anything that can be done by that. to correct that because the registrant is the registrant. If, for example, information was added in the wrong field or some phone number was added incorrectly, I think that those can be addressed fairly easily and fairly quickly, but not if the registrant itself is not eligible for the domain name. So I'm not seeing other questions. Perhaps there's some follow-up, and we've certainly still got time left in the webinar, so I'll hold off to see if there are further questions.
Craig, and while we're holding off to see if there are further questions, I just want to remind everybody that it's not because because we had already a couple of questions directly to the TMCH through customer support, that some people are confused about the fact that they thought that they could not apply their mark to the trademark clearinghouse. So it's not because that Dot Bank has already launched its Sunrise that you therefore cannot go ahead and apply or submit your trademark, and you can still participate in the Dot Bank Sunrise. So the Dot Bank Sunrise ends, if I'm not mistaken, the 17th of June, Craig?
That's correct.
Yeah. So there's still time to submit the trademark to the TMCH and to get the Dot Bank Sunrise registration. And then there's another question that just came in, Craig, if there are any premium names for Dot Bank.
So we currently don't have any premium names. To the extent that we ultimately determine to release either single or two-character or, I should say, two-letter domain names, it may be that we associate premium pricing with those domains, but I can tell you that that won't happen anytime soon, and there are no premium domain names at all in .bank.
I think that's it for the moment, Craig, but there's no other follow-up questions, but they can always contact you if there are some more follow-up questions on the Dot Bank Sunrise, is that correct?
Absolutely. And Stella, Vicky, can we get that link on the last page of the slide corrected before you post the slides?
Yes.
Okay. I'll send that to you after the call.
All right. Super. Thank you. So again, for those of you, we've recorded it. We will first update the slides and then send you a copy of the slides and the recording. And feel free to follow up with me if it's TMCH related, or follow up with Craig directly if it's related to Dot Bank Sunrise. And with that, I want to thank you, Craig, for participating in this webinar. And I want to thank all our participants as well for participating in this webinar, and hope to see everybody soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicky.